Wow, we are less than a week away now. The season starts on Sunday. Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. I am Adam Azer. I got Al Melchior. I got Heath Cummins here. And we got plenty of news to tell you about. Closer news, outfield news, injury stuff, rotation stuff. Very excited. Big show here on Monday. And the Podcast League Draft is tonight. Woo!
Biggest news of all.
What's up, guys? How we doing over there?
We have almost got a full roster of names for the not rejects league as well.
Have we got a name for the league?
No. That will probably happen on Thursday, but I'd really like by tomorrow morning, since that's only 2 days' notice, to be able to announce who all's in the not rejects league.
Okay.
I think we've pretty much got it narrowed down. We've got eight names for sure.
Hey, let's start with a tweet today calling out Mr. Melchior. Tweet of the day from Mike Schaefer, who actually submitted it, you know, for tweet of the day. He gave himself the title of tweet of the day, and it worked. Please ask Al Melk CBS to name an Indians hitter he's not down on this year.
I don't know if Heath likes this because it's calling me out or because it's calling out the Indians.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. But I guess I should answer the question. It's funny. I didn't realize I was so down on the Indians hitters, but I'd say there's two. I'm not that down on Brantley. I mean, no more than anybody else, because I think everybody's exercising some caution, but I was thrilled to get him in Tout Wars. So I'm not down on Brantley. And I don't know that a lot of people will count this one, but I really like Jose Ramirez, even though he's a utility guy. I think
not counting it.
He could be the left fielder. He could be the third baseman at some point. I don't trust Juan Uribe to stay healthy all year.
I think what Al's really trying to say is with that rotation, they don't need hitting.
That is the subtext of my analysis.
I am with Scott on Carlos Santana as a great points league sleeper fallback first baseman option.
I'll co-sign on that.
Yeah. You really don't like Jason Kipnis, do you?
I really don't. It's the middle infield. I'm very down on.
And you haven't been exactly throwing love at Tyler Naquin in center field either.
You're right. Up the middle, I am a total downer because I'm not liking Yan Gomes either.
All right. Well, at least we got a utility infielder out of that. So good stuff. So we got a lot of news and notes to tell you about. I have to get you caught up on everything that happened over the weekend. I have a segment called Do You Care? Where I tell you about some spring training performances and you tell me if you care. And then we should talk about some players. I don't know what's wrong with my voice today. I don't know how I lost it, but I seem to have lost it. We should talk about some players that are just kind of on our do not draft list. I came up with some names, guys, that it's not necessarily that I don't like them. I find myself passing them up all the time. But let's start with the news and notes. AJ Pollock, Pollock and Brantley. Pollock might start the season on the DL with an elbow injury, and Brantley had a setback with his shoulder. He's unlikely to be ready for opening day, but I guess he had a little bit of pain in his shoulder. So between Pollock and Brantley, are you downgrading either of them? Are you dropping them in your rankings? You know, less likely to draft either AJ Pollock or Michael Brantley at this point?
No. I mean, with Brantley, the risk and concern is baked in, at least for me. I would think for all of us. Heath, I want to speak for you because you're here.
Yes.
I'll speak for Scott, but
I had moved Brantley up last week in my rankings.
I did too, but I was still a little cautious.
I don't feel near as good. I'm going to be moving him back down a little bit today. I think we've already seen the AJ Pollock effect.
Really?
In our last two drafts where Pollock has fallen a little bit. He fell to Scott.
It was like the
18th?
Ninth. Yeah.
Ninth pick of the second round, I think.
Ninth pick of the second round?
Yeah. That's what?
Ninth pick, yeah.
But he was going in the second round before.
But he was.
Right?
I don't think he was ever going later than.
I just think it was a few 13 picks.
I mean, it was just a few picks, but yeah. I've got him 14th overall right now. Even if they announce he's going to miss a week or two at the start of the season, I'm probably going to leave him in that range.
Yeah, I'm not going to move him down either. I just think in the big scheme of a 26 week season.
Yeah.
That there's no reason
to worry. Brantley is a guy that I way early in the year, I was drafting him in the seventh round, and then I'd kind of backed off that a little bit, and he was falling to the eighth or ninth, and I'd gotten on board with him in points league as early as the sixth last week, and I don't think I can do that anymore.
Are you just worried that this could be more serious of an injury, more of a lingering injury.
I really don't like having a setback this close to the start of the season.
Yeah, and we don't know how much of a setback it is, but it's not a good thing. So
he's
be a
not
100%
healthy.
Yeah, be a little more cautious with Brantley. Now, as we look at closers here, Luke Gregerson, we'll start with him and then we'll go to Milwaukee. But Gregerson makes his spring training debut for the Astros. He strikes out the side on 9 pitches, turns up the heat on Ken Giles. What's your read on this situation? I said on Friday, if you draft Giles, you better draft Gregerson. But now I think you might have to go a little earlier to draft Gregerson if you're drafting tonight, or, you know, in the foreseeable future until they make an announcement. What do you guys think?
I think that's right. I don't think it changes a whole lot because AJ Hinch has refused to commit to either guy up to this point. But yeah, I think the fact that Gregerson has now pitched and pitched well.
Who did Gregerson face? I mean, if you're pitching at the end of a spring training game,
yeah,
it seems
I don't know.
Like,
oh, you know, I just read it actually. I think he faced major league hitters, actually.
Okay.
I can look that up for you, but does it matter? I mean, I think you combine
matters.
That with Giles' kind of rough spring, been better lately, but rough spring, and then that.
Okay, it was the fifth inning, so it probably wasn't too late. It does matter to me. If he struck out 3 quadruple A hitters, I would not care at all. I don't care a ton as it is. It was James McCann, Anthony Gose, and Ian Kinsler.
Yeah.
So right. One major league hitter.
No, 3 major league hitters that you could potentially face in a real game. But it does complicate the situation a little bit. But one situation that's less complicated, guys, Will Smith tore his LCL in his knee, Milwaukee relief pitcher. So Jeremy Jeffress, the closer now, case closed?
Case closed till Smith is healthy again, which sounds like might not be for quite a while.
And what do you think of Jeffress? This is not a guy, you know, you want your relievers, your closers to have a whip, you know, around 1, below 1.1. He's very rarely been below 1.25, only a 2014 stint, 29 games with the Brewers. This is the only time in his career where Jeffress had a whip below 1.25. So that's a little scary. What do you think about him, guys?
I like him. He's not a great strikeout pitcher, but he's been a decent one, and he doesn't walk a lot of guys. So yeah, with relievers, there's going to be variability in whip, particularly if you're not, you know, Andrew Miller or Aroldis Chapman and striking everybody
and he's
out.
He's certainly not.
And he's not, but he's not, you know, he's not Matt Capps either. He's not, or I guess to update a little bit, he's not Brad Ziegler. And he's a very good ground ball pitcher. I think he's going to be solid.
Yeah. I got a little bit too excited about Will Smith because he is a guy that can strike out 12 batters per 9. And of everybody, I'm the most concerned about having mediocre closers on bad teams on my team. I'm probably not going to draft Jeffress.
Would you rather have Jeffress or Grilly?
I'd rather have Jeffress.
I mean,
you got to pick one.
I don't. But I if in the situation where a gun was put to my head, I would take Jeffress over Grilly.
Okay, Jeffress or Jake McGee?
I'll take Jake McGee.
I will too.
All right. Scott Kazmir has an abdominal issue. We'll check on that, but the Dodgers rotation, man. Tough break so far.
Scott basically says it's no big deal, right?
Kazmir?
I think so.
That's what he did say that, but he
basically said it's not an issue.
All right, I hope he's right.
Who knows if it's true?
Yeah.
But we should present all the facts, or not. Maybe not. That's not a fact.
Opinions.
I usually try to ignore it when players say it's no big deal. If a manager says it's no big deal, that's another thing. But
you think managers are more truthful than players?
I don't think they're entirely truthful, but yes, I think they're more truthful than players.
Okay.
Jake Arrieta, that he will be ready for opening day despite the blister on his finger. Lance McCullers making good progress for the Astros, so that's nice to see. You guys feel better about McCullers than you might have last week, let's say?
I've not really changed my opinion on him.
Me neither.
Okay.
We're stubborn that way.
Would you rather draft Lance McCullers or Jason Hamill?
McCullers.
Yeah.
Oh, Heath just made a bad, bad face.
What do you mean?
Like you smelled something bad.
I don't think I have any of them on either of my teams, but I would rather draft McCullers than Hamill.
Would you rather draft McCullers or Carlos Rodon?
Definitely Rodon. It's not even kind of close.
What if McCullers were healthy?
It was very close then.
Okay. And then two more notes on starting pitchers. Aaron Sanchez for the Toronto Blue Jays, RP eligible. He will be in the Blue Jays rotation, but not the whole year. So, Al, what's going on with Aaron Sanchez? Are they going to monitor his innings?
Yeah, exactly. He's on innings limit, so they say they're going to restrict those innings by taking him out of the rotation at some point. This is, you know, pretty late breaking news, so I haven't seen anything more than that. But yeah, there's the spark factor with him, which is great, but then the innings are going to be unreliable for sure.
Okay, and then we've got Vince Velasquez, who is going to be in the Phillies rotation, and he is also RP eligible. So how would you guys compare Aaron Sanchez to Vince Velasquez?
I like Vince Velasquez a lot more than Aaron Sanchez.
I do too, for the same reason, right?
Well, he strikes people out. I still see a potential with Velasquez. I think he could be their ace.
Yeah. Well, you know, Velasquez, he's going to be drafted in points leagues because you can use him as an RP, but I mean, he should be drafted in roto leagues too. He goes pretty late and the guy's got a lot of potential, right?
I agree. And I think maybe now with this news, he will start to go earlier because I think probably people were concerned he wasn't going to get a spot.
Yes.
But now that he's got it, I don't see any reason for him not to be drafted in a 12-team mixed roto league and not just in a late round either.
Okay. So let me throw out some names at you. Get the ADP up here. Velasquez or Rich Hill?
Well, there's no... That's ridiculous. Velasquez.
Yeah, now Velasquez is the clear better option.
Velasquez or J. Happ?
Velasquez.
That one's tougher for me. It's tougher for me. I'll go Velasquez.
All right. So, listen, I have a great, great website / app to tell you about. And if you listen to Daily Fantasy Live, Heath will tell you about it too. Not only are we going to tell you about this great website, but we're going to save you $20. So if you're looking for a new way to find tickets to sporting events or to concerts and you're tired of hidden fees, try SeatGeek. SEATGEEK, SeatGeek makes it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. You can, of course, go online, or you can use the app. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I just used it the other day to look for concert tickets. So if you're wondering why SeatGeek, what makes this better than all the others? Well, first of all, they pull all the tickets available on other sites into one place. So now you're saving time, and you never miss a deal. Every ticket on SeatGeek is ranked. This is the cool thing for me. It's ranked based on value. So if you want the best value, that you can sort by value or you can sort by price, whatever you want. There are no hidden fees. They're always honest and upfront. It's not like StubHub. On SeatGeek, they're going to show you the full ticket price from start to finish and never try to trick you with huge fees on the checkout page. And you can set alerts. How cool is that? You want to know when ticket prices are dropping? Just set an alert. SeatGeek will tell you. That's an awesome feature. And you, very lucky listeners, can get $20 off. You get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how you do it. First, you got to download the app. It's free, the free SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab in the app, the settings tab. Click on add a promo code and enter our promo code. It's in all caps, FANTASY, F-A-N-T-A-S-Y, FANTASY. If you download the free SeatGeek app and you enter our promo code FANTASY, SeatGeek's going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Very, very awesome website and app. I really think you'll like it. They've got an interactive map. You can check out the view from your seats. Awesome stuff. All right, let's talk about some guys that I have never been drafting. I want to know what you guys think because, again, it's like I could see myself being wrong on every single person on this list. But for whatever reason, I just have a bias, and I just don't want to draft them. I'll start with two pitchers who are going in the similar range. I don't draft Noah Syndergaard, and I don't draft Felix Hernandez. How about you?
Yeah, I drafted them both. I actually think I've drafted Syndergaard quite a bit this year. I know for you it's the innings concern, right?
Yes.
You know, I got to try to find and see if there's data on stressful innings because, you know, I don't know how many of those Syndergaard pitched last year, and that makes a big difference in terms of what their durability could be this season. So just going by just the strict number of innings alone, I mean, maybe you're taking a risk, but maybe you're not.
I don't think I have drafted Syndergaard yet. It's not been a conscious decision. It's just not been where I guess he's not gone in a place where I've been okay with taking. I've taken Felix a couple times. I do expect a bounce back season from him. In fact, I think he's maybe involved in one of my bold predictions later in the week.
I just have a theory with starting pitchers, and that is there are so many good ones that it doesn't make sense to take risky ones early. And that doesn't mean that you all have to consider Syndergaard and Hernandez, Felix Hernandez, risky. I do consider them a little risky, but there are four pitchers who are going pretty much back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Did I do enough backs there? Back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Yes, in Fantasy Pros ADP. And there are Felix Hernandez, Chris Archer, Noah Syndergaard, and Carlos Carrasco. And obviously, every draft plays out differently. It's not like you're going to be able to choose from all four of them. But Archer and Carrasco, to me, are just so light years ahead of Hernandez and Carrasco. Hernandez and Syndergaard.
I have Felix ahead of both Archer and Carrasco, but I have Syndergaard at the bottom of that list.
I've got Carrasco at the bottom. I'm surprised every draft that he is going in that same neighborhood. So yeah. people are trusting the peripherals. Which I guess there's no reason not to, but I don't know. I do worry that maybe it seemed like he got hit hard when he got hit.
Yeah?
Yeah, he had some stinkers. Yeah. That was a bad year for the Indian staff. I expect it to be better this year. I never draft Nelson Cruz, and maybe I'm being foolish. Two straight 40 home run seasons, number 8 outfielder in fantasy last year. I don't think you can expect his batting average to be as good as it was.
Or his home runs.
Why do you say that? Because again, two straight years of 40 home runs, the guy has been nothing but a great power hitter throughout his entire career, basically. So why? I don't draft Nelson Cruz. I'm a little nervous. He's 35 and, you know, I guess I'm a little like Heath.
We expected Nelson Cruz's home run rate to go down last year because of the move to Seattle.
Not me. I did not. I mean, maybe a little bit, but I think he's the kind of guy that it does not matter what park you put him in. He hits for power anywhere he is.
And it should have gone down because he had a historically high home run to fly ball rate. 30% of the fly balls he hit, according to Fangraphs, were home runs. That's ridiculous. Now, you might think, well, yeah, he was just hitting the ball a lot harder. His hard contact rate was 35.6%, which is exactly the same as his career rate. So he hit the ball just as hard as he always has. More of his fly balls turned into home runs last year. There's nobody amongst hitters that I think is more likely to regress than Nelson Cruz next year.
All right,
well,
good.
Cruz did hit fly balls farther on average last year. So that supports the notion of the higher home run to fly ball ratio.
Right.
I do expect some regression, but it just seems like so many owners have so much doubt about him that I think that he's been overcorrected in ADP, and he's been a guy that I have picked up in
What's his ADP, Adam?
Give me 1 second. Nelson Cruz is going 14th after Charlie Blackmon before Yoenis Cespedes.
But like overall, do you have his overall?
Oh,
there?
Yeah, 40th. Mm-hmm. Middle round four.
The overall ADP doesn't sound out of line, but I do have him ranked higher. I mean, I've got him in my top 10 among outfielders.
All right, yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. I pass him up, and I could be leaving a lot of home runs, putting him on someone else's roster. All right, here's another guy I never draft, Adrian Gonzalez. And I know how dicey it gets with first base late in the draft, but I just do not want Adrian Gonzalez on my team. He did almost all of his damage in the first month and a half of the season last year. And I don't know, guys. I'm not feeling it with him.
I don't draft Adrian Gonzalez mostly just because I get a first baseman in the first two rounds. But even so, when you look at average draft position, I don't see a huge difference this year between Gonzalez, Hosmer, and Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
And Gonzalez, I think, is going two rounds ahead of those guys. So if I was going to get, and even Albert Pujols is going quite a ways behind Gonzalez. I wouldn't take him there if I did have to get a cheap first baseman.
And again, back to points leagues, I'd rather just settle for Santana than take Gonzalez 60th overall, which is where he's going according to Fantasy Pros. Al, how do you feel about Adrian Gonzalez?
Well, if what he says is true about ADP, then I've got no business taking him when I could have either Freeman or Hosmer. It is true.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, I doubted you.
That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, if those three are, if he's in a particular draft, the last one out of the three, then I'm taking him. Mm-hmm. I'm not waiting for Santana or for Pujols. So I'm not totally averse to taking Gonzalez.
All right. I wish I could say I never draft this guy, but I actually did draft him in our Roto League that we did last week, and I hated it. It was my least favorite pick by far, and he is Masahiro Tanaka. Yeah, I'm not really, I just don't want to. There are, again, just too many good pitchers that are being taken around or after Masahiro Tanaka. I think he's too risky. I don't know. How are you guys feeling about Tanaka?
Same as you. Want nothing to do with him. Can't imagine how far he'd have to fall. And I really should drop him in my rankings because my rankings don't reflect that. But yeah, when it comes down to it in a draft, wherever he's falling to, I'm looking at someplace else.
I am surprised, but I guess I'm the Masahiro Tanaka fanboy. I just drafted him on Saturday as my fourth starter.
Yeah, that's
in a 10-team league.
Oh.
I've got him right in the same range as Tyson Ross, Danny Salazar, Adam Wainwright.
So Salazar, huh? Well, I just thought we had Salazar ahead of that group.
You do.
You know,
he's your secret plan. You told us that the last podcast I was on.
And I drafted him in our slow draft that we're doing now.
Yes. But I just don't think we should. Salazar has huge upside, but nobody's doubting whether Tanaka has upside. The problem is how risky Tanaka is, and Salazar's still risky. He's still, you want to talk about a guy that gets hit hard when he gets hit. He gets clobbered when he gets hit.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't draft James Shields.
Which is a big mistake. that is going to be your...
Also got clobbered when he got hit, but I don't expect that this year.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I know the strikeouts are way up last year, but... I just never really liked Shields that much.
Yeah, it's been a few years since I've liked him because the 2 years ago, the strikeouts were way down.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not sure what to expect. I don't expect a replay of last year, but I'm not sure where he lands. I don't know if he goes back to being an average strikeout pitcher. I don't know how many home runs he's going to give up because that's something that's been kind of an on again, off again thing for Shields in
right.
his career. But like you said, there's upside.
I don't think he's going to strike out 9.6 batters per nine. I don't think he's going to give up home runs on 17% of his fly balls, since I think that was the most in baseball besides Ian Kennedy, maybe. I think he's going to regress in several different directions at once and probably be a very solid number three starter.
And finally, I don't draft Brandon Crawford. I just never draft Brandon Crawford. What'd you say, Al?
I think that's silly.
Okay, tell me why. He was the number three shortstop last year, kind of came out of nowhere, and he finished with sort of a whimper, so I don't know. I feel like it was like four really, really good months, if I remember correctly, with Crawford. So I don't know. Shortstop's a little deeper than it's been in the past. Not my guy, Al. Not my guy.
Yeah, no, he's my guy. Not that I'm going way out of my way to draft Brandon Crawford, but the thing is I don't have to because he's a guy that I think more people view him the way you do, Adam. Mm-hmm. And so I find him dropping in a lot of drafts. And then what I get is I think the best shortstop after the pool of the young up-and-coming shortstops are gone. And actually think he could do better than Lindor this year. But I'm the low guy on Lindor. But, you know, once, you know, Lindor and... you know, Correa, Bogarts, you know, Tulo, once they're all off the board, I think Crawford is clearly the best guy left and has more power than any of the shortstops that are remaining in the pool.
Even Gong?
Yeah, actually, even Gong. Now, if Gong is totally healthy, that's at least a closer match. But, you know, given that he's a question mark for the beginning of the year, yeah, Crawford, I think, has a decisive edge there.
Framing it from a Roto perspective, if I don't take a shortstop early, I think I typically wait for the steals guys at the end, and I will just dedicate shortstop to the steals guys, and that would be Gene Segura, Elvis Andrews, and maybe like Alcides Escobar if you wait really, really long. So that's probably why I don't take Crawford, because I'll just wait longer and get one of those guys that I expect about 20 to 30 steals from, and I'll just fill that category at shortstop. So maybe that's philosophically why I'm not taking Crawford.
Yeah, I end up with Marte a lot. If I don't get one of the good shortstops.
Yeah, Marte's probably going ahead of the three I mentioned, right?
I don't like, I have him ranked above them, but I'm not sure in terms of average draft position. I think in our leagues, Marte does, but that might just be because I take him.
You're right. No, Marte's going. So Andrews goes first. He's the 10th shortstop off the board. And then Segura, Marte, Escobar, 14, 15, 16. So there you go. All right, guys. New segment. It's called, well, it's not that new, but it's new today. Do you care? It's pretty simple. You guys understand the premise?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you some things that have been happening in spring training. You will tell me if you care. I'm excited about this one. Some good stuff here. Here we go. Houston first baseman Tyler White, batting .366 with two home runs and 10 RBI. He's a high on base percentage guy. He has a .460 on base so far in spring training. I know Al cares. Heath, do you care?
I've decided today, for the first time this spring, to start caring.
Good.
I didn't care last week. I didn't care 2 weeks ago at all. But it's looking more and more like he might win this battle. And if he wins the battle, you have to care.
How much do you care enough to draft Tyler White?
I haven't yet. I haven't updated my ranking since I decided to care. So I would doubt it. In a AL only league, for sure, yes.
Yeah, I've gone a little shallower than that. 15 team mixed, and then I think our 12 team roto mixed. I think I got him in the reserve round, so that's a 30 round draft,
right? He'll probably crack my top 360. So yeah, in a 30 team mixed, I care.
I think I know Scott has talked about him and kind of, I think, sort of undersold him as a potential power hitter. Not that he's going to have great power for first base, but again, he's third base eligible. And I think, you know, he'd have a shot at 15 to 20 home runs there. And, you know, that on top of the low strikeout rate, the high walk rate, the high OBP, probably a good batting average. That makes him pretty valuable.
Okay, next guy here. I do care about this. I'm going to see if Heath cares. I've been reading some articles. I'm starting to come around a little bit. Oakland third baseman Danny Valencia. He is having a great spring. .366 with five home runs and 13 RBIs. And he said that his time in Toronto really helped him. He learned a leg kick from Jose Bautista. He learned a lot just from watching Josh Donaldson and Edwin Encarnacion and Bautista. And the A's seem pretty high on him. So does anybody care about Danny Valencia's big spring?
I do not. And I think if you are going to decide to care about Danny Valencia learning a leg kick from Jose Bautista, then you need to get much more excited about Troy Tulowitzki. Because I was just reading that Troy Tulowitzki is now adapting a leg kick as well.
Ooh, that is interesting.
So I'm not going to get, and maybe this is going to sound like I'm an ageist, but I don't get as excited about spring training stats from 31-year-old players.
No, I mean,
he's had plenty of time
to
show us who he is.
I think that's a valid point. You know, you don't expect a 31-year-old breakout, but if you could look at something that's contributing to not just spring training, but what he did last year.
Right, but there's just spring training is full of players that have made changes and are going to be better than ever before, and stories like that. You could find five of those stories on every team in baseball.
Except the difference is Valencia actually was better last year. So it's not like this is a new thing. This is something he implemented last year, and we saw results.
Okay. I don't care.
Al, do you care?
I don't care much. I don't completely write off what he did last year because, you know, he did it pretty much the whole year. But it's the spring numbers and the leg kick and all that doesn't really make me more confident. It just makes me still want to see, okay, what does he do in April and May? And of course, by then it's probably too late, but I think it's risky to bank on.
I think Al and I have decided that we're going to be okay deep in our hearts if we miss the Danny Valencia breakout.
Okay.
Well said.
And this makes him more of a late round flyer to me. That, yeah, and he gets drafted. I don't know if he's only getting drafted by Scott, but I feel like every league that I've been in, he gets drafted. Anyway, Robinson Cano hit three home runs on Sunday. Do you care?
Kind of the same deal there, that a mixed picture from last year for Cano. I'm not going to write off the second half, but a three-homer game in spring training doesn't really sway me towards weighting that half more heavily than the first half.
I mean, it's fun. I care for the fact that that's a fun nugget that I enjoy reading. I'm glad you brought it up. It entertains me. I don't care, and I'm not going to change my rankings because he hit three home runs in a spring training game.
Do you guys see Cano as a player that's clearly on the decline?
Well, yes. I don't necessarily agree that he's going to decline from what he did last year. But if you're saying from his peak, has he declined? Will he be as good as his peak was again? He's not going to be as good as his peak was again, I don't think.
Okay.
It'd be shocking.
Do you think he'll be better than he was last year, Cano?
I think he's going to be right around the same place in terms of the full year stats.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about 21 home runs and an OPS right around 790, that 780, that sounds probably about right.
Cool. Next up, we have Dodgers starting pitcher Kenta Maeda. Look at his spring. 1.89 ERA, 1.05 WHIP, 18 strikeouts in 19 innings. Do you care about Kenta Maeda's big spring?
I care a lot.
Well, this is all we've seen from him.
Yes, I really like it's really important to me.
Okay, where are we drafting Maeda? How does he factor in with the year two guys, the Rodons, the Walkers, the Severinos of the world?
I'd say I'm going a little later with him than with that group because I'm familiar with the upside in that group. And I typically do play it very conservatively with players coming from other countries, which again, you know, means that sometimes you miss out, but I just don't want to overspend on, you know, on an upside that may or may not pan out in the major leagues.
Yeah, I've got him behind the group that you mentioned, more in the class with the Raisel Iglesias, Marcus Stroman, Patrick Corbin, Drew Smyly.
Okay.
So not too far behind. Yes.
Does anybody care about Danny Santana? Remember him? He's having a decent spring, and I just thought, yeah, why not bring up Danny Santana, who looks like a utility player right now for the Twins, but he did bat 319 with 20 steals in 2014 and only 101 games. Anyone care?
Not really. I will, yeah, add the footnote that Eduardo Escobar, I don't think, is a huge roadblock if Santana,
right?
If let's say he doesn't play well and Santana does well in a utility role. But that rookie season when he looked like he, you know, could be a fantasy mainstay, the numbers behind the fantasy stats did look awfully fluky. So that's what sticks with me more than the fantasy stats from that season or the spring stats.
You mean you don't expect another a 405 BABIP again?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Next up, we got Jackie Bradley, Boston outfielder Jackie Bradley, who is having a big spring, 375 with three home runs and seven RBI. This is a guy who, in a 35-game stretch from July 29th to September 7th, Jackie Bradley Jr. hit 360 with seven home runs. He was unbelievable. And then he finished with a 138 batting average, 263 slugging in his last 25 games. So how much, if at all, do you care about Jackie Bradley's awesome spring?
This one I care a little bit about because the thing that I want to see from Bradley is more contact. And I don't know what his numbers are now after the weekend, but I think on Friday when I last looked at them, he had struck out six times in 30 some odd plate appearances, like 36, 35, 36, it's a small sample. But if you're looking for an encouraging number, he struck out probably half a dozen times less than I would have expected him to. I mean, you know,
yes,
it's a small sample, but it's a big change in that sample.
Right. He's not striking out in a third of the bats.
Yeah.
Which is a positive.
It is.
That is a good thing. So who's a better late round flyer, Jackie Bradley or Danny Valencia?
I would say Jackie Bradley.
I agree.
Who's a better late round flyer, Jackie Bradley or Rusne Castillo?
I'm going to stick with Rusne.
Versus Bradley?
Mm-hmm.
Bradley, absolutely.
Yeah. Al really dislikes players coming over from Cuba that struggled last year.
Well, this particular one I don't like too much. I mean, they're talking about him not even being the starter now.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, talking about Brock Holt maybe starting in left field.
Brock Holt. Where is Brock Holt eligible?
Everywhere.
Yep.
Still everywhere?
Where is, it's easier to say where is Brock Holt not eligible.
It's SPRP eligible.
He's the American League Josh Harrison. And finally, two more guys, Scooter Gennett, James McCann. Good spring so far for Gennett and McCann, especially Gennett. He's batting 500, Do you care about Scooter Gennett and or James McCann?
I like Scooter Gennett a lot, mostly just because his name's Scooter, I think.
Yeah.
I may have a
Scooter. It's actually Ryan.
I may have a Scooter bias. I kind of care a little bit, and I probably shouldn't.
I care in sort of an inverse way because in deep leagues, I've been speculating on Colin Walsh because I thought if Gennett didn't come back and was injured for all spring training or if he got off to a slow start, maybe Walsh could be a sneaky play, but Walsh now is struggling just to make the roster.
Fellas, let's read.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. I was going to say let's read some emails, but I forgot about injuries, news, and notes part two. Just to update everybody on some things around the league. Michael Conforto, Jacoby Ellsbury, they return to their lineups on Sunday. Matt Cain expected to be ready for the start of the season. We haven't said a word about Matt Cain. I'm assuming he's completely off mixed league radars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least for me.
Milwaukee expects Ryan Braun to be ready for the start of the season. Hyun-Soo Kim, Baltimore outfielder. They are talking, according to Ken Rosenthal, the Orioles are talking about releasing him and letting him go back to South Korea. So, yeah, so far so bad for Hyun-Soo Kim.
That'd be good news for
Joey Rickard.
Yeah.
Another Rule 5 guy.
I was thinking more at bats for Jimmy Paredes.
I don't know. The Orioles seem to really like Rickard a lot, and he's having a great spring, and I think he may actually have more to offer in a roto league than Paredes, because Paredes is a better power hitter, but I think everywhere else Rickard will give you more.
Los Angeles Dodgers manager Dave Roberts hopes to have Yasmani Grandal for opening day. And meanwhile, Corey Seager and Yasiel Puig are expected back soon. And I wanted to mention that Chris Towers, who you heard on Thursday and Friday, loves Yasiel Puig. He's making some Bryce Harper comparisons that don't give up on Yasiel Puig. He's still got immense talent. He hasn't quite lived up to the expectations, but Chris is very high on Yasiel Puig. I want to draft him if I can. You know, it's an interesting high upside guy to have on your squad. How do you guys feel about Puig as we are less than a week away from the start of the season?
I haven't drafted him yet, and I would not put even his upside in Harper's category, but I don't deny that Puig has number one outfielder upside, but I think he's also got a number four outfielder floor. And I think, you know, I've talked a lot about how outfield is relatively shallow. So once those number two outfield types are off the board, if Puig is still there, I'd be willing to take the gamble, but that's about it.
I have drafted Puig. I've got him, I think, 22nd amongst outfielders now, right in that Carlos Gonzalez, Carlos Gomez, and Michael Brantley range. There's considerable downside with all four of those outfielders. I'm not so sure that Puig doesn't have, behind Gonzalez, I think Puig might have the second most upside.
Well, it's interesting, that group, because we've seen all four of those. Carlos Gomez, Carlos Gonzalez, Michael Brantley, Yasiel Puig. All four of those guys have performed like first rounders at some point. Michael
right.
Brantley a couple years ago was, I think, the number two or number one outfielder in fantasy. Puig did it as a rookie. Both Cargos have been, you know, in that range. So, yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting group. Four guys with tremendous upside and downside, I guess. So I don't know. I don't think Brantley has tremendous downside. He seems to be so safe because he makes such great contact. What's your read on those four?
I think Brantley has a lot more downside in roto leagues. In points leagues, he's probably pretty safe, assuming that he plays 130 or 140 games.
Yeah.
And that's really the big concern, is he's not starting the season healthy.
Yeah. Okay, Al, I'm going to put you on the spot. You ready?
No, go ahead.
All right. Let me know when you're ready.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, cool. This is a 14-team head-to-head points league. All right, 14-team head-to-head points league. Tell me which team you like better. You've got...
You know whose teams these are.
No clue whatsoever.
Okay,
I'm playing along.
Well, but you don't know whose is whose, so...
Yes, he will.
Josh...
He'll be able to tell you which is whose is whose and whose is better.
Okay. Josh Donaldson, J.D. Martinez, and George Springer. Jacob deGrom, Sonny Gray, Danny Salazar.
That's yours, right, Adam?
I don't know.
Okay.
All right, so we got the pitchers are DeGrom, Gray, and Salazar. The hitters are Donaldson, J.D. Martinez, and Springer. Or do you prefer Joey Votto, Jose Altuve, Charlie Blackmon, and Starling Marte, four hitters, and Garrett Cole and Johnny Cueto as the two pitchers. Cole, Cueto, and then the hitters are Votto, Altuve, Blackman, and Marte.
I was ready to go with that second team until you said Cueto.
In fairness, not to argue for or against either team, but one of those teams does have one more player than the other team.
Yeah, so I didn't include that player, though.
I think the team with more players is better.
But I didn't include that player. I didn't read that player.
Who was that player?
Rougned Odor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't include him.
So anyway, wherever Odor is or isn't, I like the first team better.
Yeah,
I
think that, Heath!
Well, Al is a noted Johnny Cueto hater.
Yeah.
This is true. But, yeah, I think the second team had a slight edge with the hitters, but then the pitching nullified that and then some.
I mean, look, you got Cueto, I got Salazar, so everything's falling into place. Charlie Blackman was such a steal. This is a 14-team league, and when did you take Blackman? Like the fourth round?
I think it was the third pick of the fourth round, so about right around pick 46.
Yeah, I was like, damn it, I know Heath's going to get Charlie Blackman because he was in my queue in the third round.
Well, I took Garrett Cole at the end of the third round and was really struggling between taking Cole or Blackman, but I knew the three people behind me didn't have a pitcher, so I figured a pitcher would fall back or. I didn't figure not enough pitchers would fall back to me, so I took Cole, and then Blackman fell to me in the fourth, so it worked out pretty well.
I try to balance my hitters and pitchers more in deeper leagues. I just try to balance things, you know, try not to load up at any position too early. Position scarcity does come into the equation there. So anyway, we're both off to good starts. I'm excited about it. This is a slow draft, untimed draft, basically, and we should be done in the next few days, but now we'll read some emails. Dylan in Toronto says, "Dear Ferguson, Larry, and Russell." Ferguson, Larry, and Russell. Yeah, I have no idea.
Me neither.
"I have the first overall pick in my upcoming points league draft. I earned this privilege by finishing with the most points in the second half of last season. Clayton Kershaw outscored Bryce Harper by almost 100 points in our league, which is 10 points for a win and 1 point for every strikeout and walk. 1 point for inning. Josh Donaldson finished 11 points behind Harper and is less of an injury risk. Manny Machado is a shortstop eligible player. I can't help but feel that Kershaw or Donaldson would be the best player to start my team within this four outfielder league." So he's thinking about taking Kershaw or Donaldson ahead of Bryce Harper. I'm not sure why he hasn't mentioned Trout or Goldschmidt, but what do you guys think?
By the way, I think what he's saying is it's 1 point for every strikeout minus walk.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of what the rationale would be to go Donaldson over either of the big two outfielders, and I can't find it.
I agree.
I think Donaldson, though, is the only thing that seems fluky. Like, maybe he won't have as good of a season as he did last year, but to me, he is such a clear fourth ahead of Kershaw. Now, in a league where wins are 10 points, okay, I can argue the other way, but in a standard roto league or a standard points league, I wish Scott were on the show, because Scott takes Kershaw fourth all the time, but I think Donaldson, he was just as good as Harper last year, but, you know, pretty much, so why not take him fourth?
Didn't we get a really good email a couple weeks ago about Nolan Arenado versus Josh Donaldson?
I don't recall.
I think we did, and it was kind of talking about, why are you so convinced just after 1 year that Donaldson's that much better than Arenado? Because I don't think anybody thought Donaldson was better than Arenado heading into last year.
Oh, what? Yes, they did. No?
I think so.
Oh, I really?
Yeah. Because Arenado was a breakout candidate, yeah. Not an established player at that level.
My memory could be incorrect, but Josh Donaldson did just have his career year, most likely.
He did write in the email, I'm sorry,
go ahead,
that Donaldson finished 11 points behind Harper. So when I was thinking through the rationale, I ignored that. I'm just surprised that the strikeout walk thing would favor him that much. I have a hard time. Yeah, I have a hard time.
I think that's only for pitchers.
Oh.
But let's just take, look, you take whoever you want. I mean, Kershaw.
You're right. That is just for pitchers. So.
Kershaw number one in a 10 point per win league is fine, but I think you should probably go with one of the hitters that we always talk about. But just a general overall, like, who's your number four player? For me, it's clearly Donaldson. And I guess to answer your Arenado versus Donaldson question, while I don't expect the Blue Jays to have as good of a year offensively, I just think that they will be better than the Rockies, and they will probably, you know, I would project them to score the most runs in baseball, and I think the RBIs and the runs will probably favor Donaldson over over Arenado.
Yes, I have Donaldson over Arenado. I have Donaldson number four. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Donaldson's going to be better than Arenado. Maybe the point was not so much that we need to downgrade Arenado, but we should just remember, or downgrade Donaldson, but just remember what Arenado did last year.
Yeah, it's quite impressive. Dave in Kentucky is in a 12-team head-to-head points keeper league, and he wants to know how we would grade his final three draft picks, rounds 22, 23, and 24. It's a keeper league, and it's points league. Jungho Gong, Jared Eichhoff, Jock Peterson. How would you grade those three? 22, 23, 24. Those are late round picks. Jungho Gong, Jared Eichhoff, Jock Peterson.
For the whole bundle, one grade?
Yeah.
It's an A. Like it a lot.
Well, Gong in round 22 is awesome.
But even if it was somebody, you know, that wasn't quite that much of a value, I do like Eichhoff and Peterson that late.
Cool. Here's Joe in New York, 12-team head-to-head category league. The extra categories are OPS and quality starts. Would this format change anything for your draft strategy, OPS and quality starts?
Yes, it definitely does. it makes the league better, first off. It makes me like the league better. No, it makes our rankings, because we always say that you're looking more at our roto rankings for the head-to-head category league. And if you're using OPS, it's going to make it a little bit more like points, I feel like.
And quality starts, too.
Yes.
Well, I think what it does is it helps power hitters, because your sixth category is going to benefit the power hitters more.
That's true.
And I think
it helps inning eaters.
It does, but it also, I think, it eliminates your... Anybody who wants to do the I'm just gonna pitch relievers and win ERA, whip and saves... you can't do that with quality starts now, because now instead of winning 3 out of 5 categories, you're winning 3 out of 6 categories. This makes starting pitchers more valuable and relievers less valuable.
Yes.
So keep that in mind, Joe in New York. And I just did a 7x7 draft with quality starts, but the hitting categories, it wasn't OPS, it was OBP and it was total bases, which it was very interesting. So, like, Denard Span, I thought, was a good one because of, you know, he gets doubles and triples. That'll help his total bases. But still, the home run hitters really benefit in those types of leagues, I think. But then you get a lot of home run hitters that really are terrible at OBP. You know, like the 250 hitters who only hit home runs, when you throw OBP in there, they're not very good at that category. So, the Gattis, Trumbo... that group, who am I forgetting there? Chris Carter, you know, although he walks, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, but his batting average is so low that his on-base percentage is
right.
okay, anyway, Ben and Bama. My league is drafting super late, like the day before opening day, and a lot of draft analysis I might look at was done in either January or February. Where have you been, Ben and Bama? We've been doing this for a while. So I'm wondering if you could tell me the 3 or 4 guys for whom your evaluation has changed the most since February.
Wow. I mean, I'm going right to the guys that were just completely off the radar, maybe even a month ago. The Tyler Whites, the Juan Nicasios. But in terms of established players... Yeah, that doesn't change that much for me, typically. I will say that I'm at least looking at Gene Segura now in roto leagues, whereas I had sort of given up on him, both of those things, because of what he did in Milwaukee. But realizing how much the Diamondbacks ran last year in Chip Hale's first season as manager, that gets me a little bit excited about Segura this year.
Segura was a top 12 shortstop in roto last year. He should do better this year, leading off for that team.
Yeah, I mean, he's still got to get on base, but his value certainly goes up.
Come to mind?
I'm trying not to be obvious with like the Corey Dickersons, who,
yeah.
I mean, if you're looking at something from January or February, he's lost a lot since then.
Right. And Gerardo Parra, the opposite.
Gerardo Parra went the opposite direction. If it's just some, Aroldis Chapman obviously was downgraded pretty significantly. I have upgraded Carlos Martinez quite a bit since that point, just because I keep finding more and more things that I like.
Okay. Aaron's question, Bebop, Rocksteady, and Krang, he says. Al, do you know Bebop, Rocksteady, and Krang?
I don't.
Are those bad guys from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
You know it. You know it.
I did not.
Can someone explain why you guys are so down on Evan Longoria? Even in round 10, his Fantasy Pros ADP, he seems like a good bet to outproduce Billy Hamilton, Adam Eaton, etc. Why are you so down on Evan Longoria?
Declining power at a position that I think is improving. And I probably wouldn't argue with the Billy Hamilton one. At least I think that's debatable. But I actually do think Adam Eaton has a good shot at outproducing Longoria this year.
I'm an ageist.
What? I just don't. What is old for you?
No, he's not even that old.
Yeah, he's 30.
But everyone ages differently. He's on the decline, so that makes him old.
You know, I want to conduct a study.
Okay.
I want to know what you guys think. You look at numbers a lot. And I've seen in the last few years, and I've just never really looked before, but I think when guys get older, they might start struggling against pitchers of the same hand. So righties against right-handed pitchers, lefties against left-handed pitchers. Adrian Gonzalez comes to mind, although he did bounce back against lefties last year, but he was terrible in 2014. David Ortiz comes to mind. And Evan Longoria comes to mind. He has struggled against righties the last two seasons, slugging .389 and .390 against right-handed pitchers the last two seasons. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, picked up on that, if that's a thing, but I'm kind of working on that theory.
Oh, it's interesting. It makes a lot of sense,
right?
Because you figure that reaction time is probably one of the things that starts to decline, and there's less margin for error with same hand in this pitcher. I don't know. I think maybe for some hitters with the more exposure that they have, that maybe that's a skill that would improve for some. But
well, and with Longoria, it's not just that his power has declined, but seems as though his batting eye has declined as well, which probably has to do with his performance against right-handed pitchers. But his walk rate down every year over the last 5 years, and his on-base percentage is pretty close to that as well.
He's just not exciting. I mean, there seems like no chance for Longoria to have a huge year. How surprising would that be if Longoria...
Yeah.
Right?
Very, very surprising to me.
So why take somebody like that in round 10? You know, Adam Eaton, this guy's got a lot more potential than Evan Longoria. Not that they both play the same position, but just he was mentioned in the email. Okay, last one. This is from Paul in Santa Barbara, California. Heath, you'll probably enjoy this one.
Good.
On Friday's show, Scott and Chris called daily lineups a gimmick. Let me tell you about gimmicks in fantasy baseball. Starting pitchers as relief pitchers. And streaming starting pitchers in leagues that don't have innings or game started caps. These gimmicks are routinely discussed on the podcast, but without the negativity and whining we got from Scott and Chris on Friday. Sounds like they've been chewed up and spit out by daily leagues with owners more savvy than them. I almost felt sorry for them. If gimmicks bother them so much, then stop talking about streaming and sparps, or just acknowledge that fantasy baseball leagues are an imperfect science and the way to win is to exploit any league settings and scoring that you can. Please stop complaining about a feature of some leagues that more closely resemble actual baseball. All of my leagues are full this year, but I will put Scott and Chris on the wait list for next season if any slots open up and they'd like to take off their training wheels and play in a gimmick-free fantasy baseball league that would chew them up and spit them out. With tongue planted firmly in cheek, Paul in Santa Barbara, California.
You know, have we ever had a situation where somebody didn't have to apply for the podcast league? We invited them, because I'd like to invite Paul.
Put him in the rejects league.
If Paul wants in, Paul can get in.
I'll just email him and see if he
award-winning
wants.
Email.
That was an award-winning email.
It was, but I think it was a little harsh. I mean,
well, no, he said tongue in cheek. Yes.
Yeah.
But,
I don't.
You know, I'm sorry.
No, I don't. I think starting pitcher as relief pitcher is a little gimmicky, and it's not my favorite thing. But they made a good point that I had never really considered with those daily leagues. It is like a how do I beat the system approach that a lot of owners take in daily lineup leagues. It exists.
That is the system, though. You're not beating the system. That's the rule. Like, it's not like you're trying to come some way to circumvent the rules. You're just playing within the rules.
Yeah, I think that's not the best way to put it. I don't like daily lineup changes either. And I also am not, I mean, we we do a lot of SPARP type analysis here because that's a feature that we have. But I prefer Roto to head to head, partly for that reason. And I do like things that better simulate the actual game. And I would take issue with saying that daily lineup changes do that. I mean, yeah, obviously the manager in real baseball gets to make daily lineup changes, but he doesn't have the whole pool of available talent. He's got his 25-man roster. So.
I think there are pluses and minuses to both ways of doing things. I have a couple of daily lineup leagues and I enjoy them. I couldn't play in nearly as many leagues if they were all daily lineup changes.
Yeah, I started daily lineup last year. I had never done it, and I like it. It's fine. I have no problem.
You need to play like one, maybe two of those leagues.
Yes, I had two. I had two last year. I had two last year, and it was getting, you know, it wasn't like annoying or anything like that. But there were some days where I was really busy, and I was like, oh crap, I forgot to set my lineup in this league, and that happens. And I'd rather not have to deal with that too much.
And if I'm honest, that's probably the main reason I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all, but it is more about, no, I mean, compared to weekly lineups, it's more about, you know, you could call it strategy, you could call it gimmicks, but how do I don't know, how do I steal categories and have lineups that aren't conventional, unconventional ways to win, which is fine for some people. Not dissing it. Man, people, the daily lineup league guys, they get defensive. They do not like when say anything.
Well, I've only heard it discussed twice, and one of the times was you calling them losers. And then apparently the other time was Scott and Chris not being very positive about it. So I don't know. I mean, there's not a lot of other subsets of fantasy owners that we have attacked like this.
Okay, but I immediately took back the losers thing. So let's be clear immediately. We're done for today, guys. Thank you very much to Heath Cummings and Al Melchior. Tomorrow we'll recap the podcast league draft. Very excited for tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
I'm going to try to be there on time this time.
Oh, yeah. Great first impression from Heath last year. It's like his first, I don't know, how long were you on the job at that point?
A week or two?
Yeah, first 1 or 2 weeks on the job and he forgot about the draft. Well done.
I was looking for a place to live.
More important, I suppose.
Yeah.
Al, Heath, see you later, folks.
Bye.
And to all of you, have a wonderful Monday. We'll talk to you Tuesday.